God, and we're going to study the Word of God with respect to Pentecost, with respect to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Y'all thought we were going to talk about Psalm 119, didn't you? Well, y'all's already. Have my Bible. My Bible has fallen open now to Psalm 119. But no, today we're going to talk about Pentecost. It's always good to rehearse the things that we have need of. Amen? Not to say you don't need Psalm 119. That's the best psalm in the world. Y'all like 23. I like 119. And it's the longest psalm in there. So you need to go read it. But we won't read it this morning because it's 176 verses. And I'd probably preach on every one of them. So we want to guard our time today. All right? Now, Robert mentioned it this morning, that Jesus said in Luke 24, which is actually one of the ones that I did not grab, you know, when I was working on putting together my notes for this morning. So let's look over at Luke 24. We'll talk a little bit more about what Jesus talked about at the supper. And he began to introduce his disciples to the idea that, of course, you know, early on he began to say, you know, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna be killed, I'm gonna go away. Well, I mean, how can you be the savior of the world and go away? You know, it's hard to be a king when you're not there. And so that he began to open that door and began to talk about that and say, you know, just so you're aware that I'm not going to be here, but I'm going to leave you guys here, and I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send someone, and you know. So, and their whole question was, you know, are we going to? When are you going to set up the kingdom? We're ready for you to set up the kingdom. We're ready for you to rule, and we're going to rule with you, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. The problem is they didn't realize they weren't prepared. You know, when we talk about. Now, we don't have any signs on those seven chairs. But those seven chairs have to do with salvation, not through works, but through faith, leaving sin, repenting of sin, coming in by faith, being justified by faith. But the one that seems to be neglected is the one, what we call chair five, is right smack in the middle, which is discipleship. You know what that is? That's dying to you. Dying to your ability. The best description for me is dying to your right to complain. And nobody likes that. Everybody likes to complain. Everybody likes to just, you know, if I have the right to do nothing else, I have the right to complain. No. Jesus has already done everything. You have no, there is no right to complain. You have a right to declare the gospel. You have a right to follow his word and to believe his word. You have a duty to follow his word because he has set you free from death and destruction to follow his word. What's following his word? What did Jesus say it was in John chapter 6? He says, you know, should we do to work the works of God that you might believe? So that's the works of God for you. The work of God for you is to believe. The work of God in you is that he does everything else. He begins to get rid of sin, and he begins to empower and work in and through you. Amen? How does he do that? Well, through the Holy Spirit. Because he said, right here in Luke 24, he said, don't go anywhere. Don't leave town. It's like American Express. Don't leave home without it. So look at Luke 24. And behold, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait, the word tarry in the King James means to wait. And that, you know, just keep your motor running. Doesn't mean take a nap. It just says wait, you know, tread water. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. In Luke, that's the last thing he said before he went out to Bethany and lifted his hands up and was taken up into heaven. Last thing that was recorded that he said is that Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Father, we just thank you this morning for the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not extra, not extra credit. It's not optional. Everything that is supplied by the Holy Ghost is necessary. So, Father, we thank you right now that we receive the Holy Spirit in His fullness. By faith, we declare it. Father, we want everything that He was empowered to do, to give to us, and to bring to us, and to work in us. We ask you, Lord God, to move on the inside of us and to bring the power of the Holy Spirit to fruition in every part of our life. Father, not just for miracles, not just for tongues, but Lord, for discipleship, to be a witness, to remove sin, that He removes sin. He causes us to walk in authority and power over sin in the flesh. Because you told us in Romans through Paul that sin shall not have dominion over you. So, Father, we give you praise and we declare that and we receive that in the name of Jesus. No matter what sin may try to appear or may appear in a big way, sin does not have dominion over me. You have dominion over it in me. And what you promised, you're able to perform. What you started, you will complete until the day that Jesus returns. So we give you praise and thanks and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, let's look over at John chapter 14. And as you're turning there, I'm going to make some notes to you. In Mark chapter 13, verse 11, the Holy Ghost is going to give you what you need to speak. The Holy Ghost is going to give you what you need to speak. Amen? He will give you what you need to speak. He said, don't premeditate what you're going to say in that scripture, in that verse. Don't premeditate what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will give you in the hour what you need to say. He said, when they deliver you up, maybe you didn't have your Bible out when you got arrested. Maybe you didn't have all your notes. But he said, don't worry. Don't worry. In the day that you are delivered up for the sake of the gospel, don't be suffering over what you're going to say. In the hour that you need it, I'll give you what you need to say. Amen? Now in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist described Jesus. Now the reason I want to talk about Jesus in his ministry is that he said, one is coming that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In the same chapter, Luke 3, verse 22, he says, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice was heard saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus did no miracles before this time. Jesus did no miracles before the miracle of the wine, being water turned into wine at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee. He didn't raise birds from the dead as a boy. He didn't do miracles. Jesus, the gospel says, this is the beginning of miracles, was turning the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee. Before that, when he rose, come out of the waters of baptism where John baptized him, this is where where he was recognized by God the Father with the dove descending upon him, or the shape of a dove descending upon him. Whether it was actual dove, we don't know. It was a description in the bodily shape. The Holy Spirit came down upon him in the bodily shape as a dove. So maybe it just looked like a dove would come down. We don't know. I don't want to mess up anybody's theology. That was a dove. Glory to God.
Come on now.
Glory to God. You know, I've seen it on TV. You know, that network. You know. And he says, "This is." But what we did here was that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, the Holy Ghost came upon who? Who is this talking about? The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. Jesus was a man, he was the Son of God in nature. His death was viable and effectual for the redemption of your life and your sins to be forgiven. But when he came into the earth, he came in born as a man. He walked on the earth and did miracles under the power of the Holy Spirit. He was a man whom had the Holy Spirit without measure. The Holy Spirit without measure was given unto him. You may have measure. Problem is you've still got a lot of sin in your body, in your mind, in your head. So the Holy Spirit can use you. But when Jesus came, he came under the power of the Holy Spirit. He ministered under the power of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus comes and he's working the miracles, it's not incumbent upon you to say, "Oh, well, that was Jesus." No, he said, "These same miracles and greater works, then these same works and greater works shall you do." Why? "Because I go to my Father." And he said right here when he's leaving, "Okay, I'm leaving. Wait in town until you be endued with" what? Power. The promise of the Father. Wait in town. The promise of the Father is coming. Wait until in town until you be endued with power. And that's what he promised. So let's go over here. Continue to look at a couple more scriptures. Well, I write horribly. So Jesus in Luke chapter 4, when he returned from Jordan, being full of the Holy Ghost. So it describes that Jesus, Son of Man, returned from Jordan full of the Holy Ghost and was led by the Spirit. Ah, he was led by the Spirit. So he wasn't just making decisions, you know, as Jesus, as God. He was led by whom? The Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Galatians says, "Every one of you that is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So you're led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Over in the 12th chapter of Luke, he says, "Whosoever shall speak against the Son of Man," speak a word against the Son of Man. "Well, I don't like that, Jesus." You know, they didn't like Jesus. "Speak a word against the Son of Man, that will be forgiven. But he who blasphemes or speaks against the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven." What's the main ministry of the Holy Spirit in the world today? To reveal Jesus. To reveal Jesus and the gospel. And so he who blasphemes, what would it be to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? To reject Jesus. So the reason is not like calling the Holy Spirit a bad name. You know, "Well, he's a dummy." You know, it's not blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is to reject his ministry. Is to reject, what's his ministry? The salvation of Jesus. The gift of Jesus. The forgiveness of Jesus. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Amen? "Well, have I committed the unforgivable sin?" Well, have you rejected Jesus? I'm going to help you. No. Amen? So if you haven't rejected Jesus and his promise, you have not committed the unforgivable sin. It's not to drop your Bible, kick the pew, or, you know, to yell at your wife before church, or, you know, that kind of thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Janet and I have been married 39 years yesterday. That's our last anniversary. We're just going to be married 39 years from now on. Some of y'all are only 39 years old, right? And you've been 39 for... My grandfather was 39 for 41 years. I mean, you know, if you've been married longer than 39 years old, 39 years, that means you're really getting old. You know? So, praise the Lord. So, amen. Was good. Amen. We're having a good time. We're not going anywhere. We're going to just stay married, I guess. We don't want to break in another one. Why would you want to do that? That's our recommendation. We got married at 20.
Come on now.
I recommend it. You kind of grow up together. You know. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. You wondered how I was going to get back to the message.
Yeah.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost. All right, now. Now, back in Luke chapter 12, it says, again, the same thing we read in Mark is the Holy Ghost will teach you in the same hour of your trouble what you need. All right? Praise the Lord. All right, let's look over John. We're going to look at some more scriptures. I thought we were going to get to the Holy Ghost. Well, we are. We're getting there. But first of all, we've got to find out what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. All right, look over in John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 25. Now here Jesus and his disciples are at dinner, having the Last Supper. And this is a big conference, this meal. Because this is the night which Jesus was betrayed. We talk about in the communion. This is the night that he was betrayed. And so this is the last night, last evening that they're spending time with him. And Jesus has mentioned this before and told them, well, I'm going to be crucified. And a man will be crucified. And he raised again 3 days. You know, and they're all just kind of, you know how you do? You just, yeah, whatever that is. They're just looking forward to Jesus, you know, making the kingdom. They don't know what this crucified thing is. They're just not quite figuring that out. You know, of course, the night after this meal, they'll figure out, you know, like water in your face. That's what he meant. Because he was arrested that night, and Judas came and betrayed him and took him off and they arrested him. And, you know, they were suspecting that he's in trouble, but they figured God was going to protect him and keep him, and he was going to be made. I mean, after all, the weekend before, the people were ready to make him king. You remember he rode in on the donkey into Jerusalem, and they were ready to make him king right there. You know, so this too shall pass. It's just kind of like a bump in the road. But no, by the end of the next day, he was dead. By the end of the next day, they had crucified him. So here's Jesus, and he knows exactly what's going to happen in the next few hours. All right? So if we look over here, that was on the right page. Verse 25 said, "These things have I spoken to you." This is John 14, 25. "These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you." So he's talking, begins to talk about this Comforter. Who's that? The Comforter. What's he talking about? Because Jesus is about to leave. And what he is going to do is he's going to send another Comforter. Jesus himself is a Comforter for them. But he's going to send another Comforter who will be with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Whom the Father will send. Who's sending him? Who sends him? The Father sends him. The Father sends the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, in my name. And he, who, the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So he's going to teach you, and then he's going to bring things to your remembrance. You know why I like to read the Bible slow? Because you pick up things from every word. You pick up things from every sentence. The Father will send him in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. So whatever Jesus has said, he's going to bring those things to your remembrance. Let's look over in chapter 15. To verse 26, Now, I'd recommend you read the whole chapter 15 because it's all in the same vein, talking about the Holy Spirit. And let's look at verse 26, and he says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even he's the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, and he shall he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, and he's going to testify of Jesus. But you also are his witnesses, because they had been with him from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit is testifying of Jesus. Scripture says, in 1 John, it says, "Test the spirits, whether they be of God." How do you do that? How do you test the spirits, whether they be of God? The Holy Spirit is going to testify. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you and testify of Jesus. That's how you know. The Holy Spirit will show you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, you know, and when he says test the spirits, it doesn't mean, you know, try to light them with fire or, you know, try to drown them in water, you know, like they used to do to witches, you know, in the old days. No, how do you test them? You test them by the Word of God. You test them by the witness of the Holy Spirit. Okay, look at chapter 16, verse 12. Okay, again, we're still at the dinner, and Jesus is still speaking. "I have yet many things to say." Actually, they may have gone out by now. "I have many things to say to you now, but you cannot bear them now." So Jesus has got a lot to say, a lot to share with you. I may have a lot to say to my kids when they're young, a lot to share with them, but I can't do it too early, right? You can't. There's a lot of things you want to share with your kids, but you can't do it too early because they can't handle it. They don't know. They don't have any reference point. They don't have anything to relate it to. So, you know, so many times, you know, we have in schools, you know, people are trying to teach kids about all kinds of things that are happening in the world that they don't need to even know about. Amen? They have no business. They don't know what my child knows or what my home is like and what we teach. And so they don't need to be teaching things that they haven't consulted with me about. See, when you're going to share something with your kids, they have to have a reference point. If kids don't have a reference point of something that you're going to tell them, they don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with that. I mean, you teach them about homosexuality, or you teach them about, all kinds of other things, that evil and wickedness in the world. You haven't let that out. You haven't spoken that to told the child anything about that. And all of a sudden now they have something that somebody gave them and they have no reference point. They don't even know what that is. They've totally, you know, exposed and scandalized that child. That's why your school district people need to be people of God. How many know we elect our school district people? How many know that, you know how many people put school district people in office? About less than 5% of all voters. And that's your job as a gospel preacher, person, individual, living in your neighborhood. Is to, you know, we have an interesting thing going on. I'll just mention in Grapevine, Colleyville, there is a race that is hanging by a thread by one vote. There's a runoff that may happen by one vote because of one vote. Every vote makes a difference. Well, no, I guarantee you what makes a difference is the votes in the runoff election, which is coming up this week for all these other offices like the Congress and all that. But then and we just had the city election back a few days ago, and that's what this one is. So all of those races, especially those city and runoffs, those are the ones that could be affected by three or four people. Our kids aren't even taught this in school anymore. Our kids aren't even taught, you know, what their constitution is, what the laws are, what the rules are. So we need to teach them. Amen?
Amen.
We need to teach them. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. All right. Now let's look here again at John 16, verse 12. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now part of that is because, now why couldn't they bear it now? Why couldn't they bear it now? If Jesus got a lot of things to say, why would he withhold? Why would he not just share it? Well, we just said they couldn't, they didn't have any reference point. They can't handle it. They can't know what he's talking about. However, verse 13, however, when he, everybody say he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said I, that he shall take of mine and show it to you. A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me. Of course, he's talking about there, I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to rise from the dead. And then you shall see me because I go to the Father. Then, of course, some of them said among themselves, verse 17, what is this that he said to us? A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. And they said, therefore, what is this that he said a little while? We cannot tell what he said. They had no reference point. Now Jesus knew they were desirous to ask him, and so he said to them, do you inquire among yourselves that I said a little while and you shall not see me, and a little while you shall see me? Verily I say to you, truly, truly I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. And in that day you shall ask of me nothing. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Here before, too, I have asked you, have you asked nothing. Before now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you receive, that your joy may be full. All right? Now, I want to look over here, look at verse chapter 20. Same chapter, same John, book of John, verse 20, verse 19. Now this is after Jesus is raised from the dead, or as he's, the day he was raised from the dead. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. And said to them, peace be to you. And when he had so said, he showed to them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought the Holy Ghost was coming on the day of Pentecost. I read ahead. But here's the same day that Jesus was raised from the dead, and he came in that evening, came in and stood in the midst of them. You know, he had that body that you can go in and out with door without the doors, you know. And he says, Peace be to you, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. So in sending them, when he had said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. Can y'all do that? Say, nobody wants to do that. No, do it. Go ahead. Jesus, he breathed on them. And he said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So he actively breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. How many know what the word for spirit in Greek is? Pneuma. It starts with a P. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma means air or breath. So, receive ye the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit. The word ghost is actually spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. So, he breathed on them, sent air, breath on them, and told them in the same moment, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So, Jesus imparted to them the Holy Ghost. But obviously, there was another one, because at the end of Luke, he says, you know, wait until you be endued with power. So when Jesus breathed on them and received the Holy Ghost, I believe they received the Holy Ghost. How many believe they received the Holy Ghost when he breathed on them? I believe that he did. I believe they received the Holy Ghost because Jesus said that. He didn't say receive it later. He said didn't say receive it next week. He didn't say receive it in 50 days. Because see, this is the day that he rose from the dead. And 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, is when the Holy Spirit was given. But see, Jesus, he stayed with them. This is the day he was raised from the dead. How many days did he stay around and walk around and go and teach the disciples before he ascended? Anybody remember? 40 days. So he was there 40 days from the moment he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. I believe they were born again. I believe they received the Holy Ghost that day. But he said, receive power on the day of Pentecost. He baptized them in the Holy Ghost. And somebody may argue with me, and that's fine. You can argue all you want. I'm right. Praise the Lord. No, but because when he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, I believe they received the Holy Ghost. They were born from above. They were born again that day. All right? Now, so let's look at this again. So he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. This is verse 23 in John 20. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. How do you do that? How do you forgive sins? Jesus forgave sins. All of a sudden they were given authority to forgive sins. How do you forgive sins? It's someone who believes in, who receives Jesus. Somebody who receives Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Once you've received Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Amen? If you've rejected Jesus, that's when they, you know, go from town to town. They shake off the dust of their feet, you know, as they did in the book of Acts. Shake off the dust of your feet of that city against them, that they have rejected the gospel. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, is that to reject the salvation of Jesus. It's just not a good idea. I mean, just get saved. I mean, if you don't want to start behaving yourself and start being a good man or woman, good boy, good girl, if you don't want to do that, I'll just challenge you. Just receive Jesus today and don't behave and don't change and don't do anything different. I'll just give you one assignment. Just go worship Jesus every day. Just thank him for his forgiveness every day. You know what's going to happen? Things are going to start changing. Amen. You're going to start changing. Things are going to start happening in your life that you don't have to perform and do and change, because the Holy Ghost comes on the inside of you and performs and does and changes you. Ian? Is that right? Cassie? Amen. I'm just talking about him. Yeah, she's just a witness. Of course, God changed her too, you know. So God's doing mighty, mighty things in you. Amen. Because of the Holy Ghost. Because of the Holy Ghost. All right, here, let's look over here at Acts chapter 1. Today's the day of Pentecost, as we celebrate the day of Pentecost. Amen? Well, it's the actual day of Pentecost because, it's Sunday, so we had to come and preach. So, it's the closest one we could find. Amen? All right, here. Now let's look at Acts chapter 1, let's just start from verse 1. This is Luke teaching, or Luke writing this book. It says, the former treatise, that is the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the former writing have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion, his death, and resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of these things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from here. Now when they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time again restore the kingdom of Israel? So they're not worried about the Holy Ghost. They just want to have a kingdom. They just want to be delivered from the Romans and set up this kingdom. You remember John and James, their mama came, hey, can my guys kind of be your right and left hand people when you come into your kingdom? Because everybody's just interested in power. Even Christians were just interested in, having power, having authority. Say, who do I get to be boss over? It's kind of like siblings, Titus wants to know who he's going to be boss over. The dog, All right, do you have a dog? don't even have a dog. Not even the dog. That's such a bummer. All right, verse 7, Acts 1:7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, wait a minute. I thought he already breathed on them. Huh? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. All right, so all of these things are taking place. Now you look at skip over to chapter 2. So in the meantime, they have to pick another disciple because Judas, got, in trouble. So they had to pick another disciple, so they did all that. And they cast lots. I always wonder about that. They cast lots, between Matthias and the other guy. Barsabbas. Remember him? Yeah, you don't remember him, do you? It's right here in the first chapter of the book of Acts. You don't remember Barsabbas. Oh, really? I don't even think you remember Matthias. I think you still remember Judas. All right. So they picked a new disciple, and if that was God, I don't know. Well, we got to replace the guy. People are legalists. Chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. A sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues as of fire, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave the utterance, as the Spirit gave the words. Gave the language. Said they were all filled. How many were filled? All. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It's just always good to read what you're reading. Amen? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Not some of them, not half of them, not Not the good ones, not the bad ones. You know, the ones who needed it. No, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It says they were all together. See, if you read verse 1, it says, and they were all, how many were together? They were all together in one accord, in one mind, one spirit, in one place. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 4, and began to speak with other tongues. Well, do I have to speak with other tongues? Well, no, you get to. You get to. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. So who gives the utterance? Who gives the words? If you're praying in another tongue, who gives the words? Huh? I can't hear you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Okay, the Holy Spirit, people don't like to answer wrong. It was right there. I try not to do those questions, you know, that are not like obvious. Yeah. So, the Spirit gave the utterance. The Spirit gives words. So, when I pray in another tongue, it's the Spirit prays. And you can read that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You want to write that down? We're not going to go there today, but you can write all that down. It says when you're going to look at Romans 8:26, look at 1 Corinthians 14, look at Jude verse 20. It's only one chapter, just Jude verse 20. Jeff mentioned that this morning. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. All right? So now, let's look at we're going to look at the rest of the, spend the rest of our time here. So look at verse 5, and it said, they were dwelling at Jerusalem. Now you have to remember, this is the middle of the Feast of Pentecost. It's a harvest feast. People are coming in. Lots of people are coming into town. People are coming in and out of Jerusalem. People are coming. A lot of people are coming to make their journey to Jerusalem at this time of the year. Their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. That's right. They're making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. You got to have. You don't want to spend a lot. You know, if you know how you are. A lot of people. If you're going on a business trip, you try to do two things at once. So you at least get paid for the business trip when you go. So they're going to Jerusalem to do business. They're going to take in their harvest and do their offering. But then there are also feasts taking place. The Feast of Shavuot. I'm not going to say that again. I'm not sure I say it right to begin with. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. So there's Jews from every nation under heaven. There's people from all over the world. All over the world. So every nation. Every nation. Well, many nations have different languages. You know, if you go to France, they got French. If you go to Germany, they got German. Right? If you go to Russia, they got Russian. If they go to Norway, they got Norwegian. I've never been there, but I should go, I guess. Okay, verse 6. So every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together, and were confounded, confused, and amazed, because every man heard them, everybody say them, heard them speak in his own language. Every man heard them as a group speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, I guess they all spoke Greek too, otherwise they'd be, you know, it's like everybody who comes to do business here in the United States speaks English. There's a business language. And when you come, it's either Aramaic or Greek, is when you would come into the land of Israel, or even just in the Roman Empire, Greek was the prevailing language, certainly the prevailing language to do business. Certainly the prevailing language to be able to communicate with folks from all over the world, just as English is today. All right? When our country was founded, it was actually French. French was the language of business when the United States was in its infancy. So everybody had to learn how to speak French. Aren't you glad that's over? All right? Norman speaks French. Some. Praise the Lord. You can go ask him to say something in French to you. All right? So every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed, verse 7, and marveled, saying to one another, Behold, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Must be pretty obvious if you're a Galilean. You must have some certain characteristics that show up. Maybe it's you don't look like you're well-read or well-dressed, perhaps. Aren't all these who are speaking just bumpkins from Fort Worth? You know, they don't look like they're from Dallas. I think they look like they're just from Fort Worth. Maybe even they're just from Burleson. Now, Jim used to say that before Burleson was anything. All right? Now, verse 8, look at that. And they're saying to each other, How hear we every man in our own tongue? They're discussing this with each other. Where our own tongue, wherein we were born. Now here's the groups. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers at Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya and about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. Did you know there were that many languages that we were talking about? I always think this is great. I mean, they just went on and on and on about how many languages they were communicating to each other that were being spoken, and they heard every group, individual person from a language group heard all of the disciples speaking in his language. Every man heard them speak in his own language. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them, it says it again, them as a group, speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So they recognized exactly what they were saying. They were speaking in their tongues the wonderful works of God. How powerful is that? So it wasn't like Peter was speaking Phrygian and John was speaking Crete. They were all speaking in other tongues. So they weren't speaking in languages. They were speaking in an unknown tongue. But the Holy Spirit was translating that to each individual person in the language that they understood and speaking to them, they were the wonderful works of God. So the miracle, I believe, not only was praying in other tongues by the Holy Spirit, but also the miracle of the hearing. Is God is able to speak to each man where he can hear. Amen? Because later on in the scripture it tells you, you know, if you're going to speak in an unknown tongue in the middle of a room, you know, that's not helpful. You know, because nobody, you've really got to speak unless you're going to have an interpretation. But here, they were speaking the wonderful works of God. They were worshiping God and they were heard by a miracle of the Holy Ghost in every language that was in the city. And they came pouring out on the streets. There's a book that was written years ago called 9 o'clock in the morning, because at the third hour, and we're going to find out about that here. And everybody heard them, all right? So let's look at this. And verse 12 says, and they were all amazed, Acts chapter 2, verse 12, and they were all amazed and in doubt, saying to one another, what does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. These guys are drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, You men of Galilee, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, full of new wine. He must have heard some guys. These guys are just drinking. These are not drunken as you suppose, but it is but the third hour of the day. Third hour of the day is, okay, when the sun came up, say 6 o'clock, so time was measured. The third hour of the day is going to be 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass, this is Peter speaking, in the last days God said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my spirits and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, men and women, I'm going to pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what he wanted to get across. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? You men of Israel, hear these words. Got their attention, didn't he? These are not drunken as you suppose. They're the Holy Ghost knows how to draw a crowd, doesn't he? So here they are, men from all over the world, people from all over the world, have been drawn to hear the gospel. This is what the Holy Ghost does. He makes you a witness. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I know we're running low on time here. I'm going to skip down. Okay, verse 32. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So Peter's declaring the Holy Ghost among the nations, isn't he? Read that again. Therefore, being exalted by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Now what's he talking about? He's saying that David did not ascend like Jesus ascended. David's dead. He died. You know, to be absent from the body in faith is to be present with the Lord. But he did not ascend as Jesus ascended. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but says himself, the Lord said to my Lord. So he's bringing back the Old Testament scripture that David is saying, is speaking to his Lord. So the Lord, God, said unto my Lord. Who's David's Lord? It's Jesus. But this is in the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament prophecy. So David is saying this in the Psalms. The Lord said, the Father said to Jesus, sit on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Therefore let all those, verse 36, all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus. If you're looking to David, here's what David says about the king, that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, Lord, both Lord and Christ. Bam. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. What's the power of the Holy Spirit? First and foremost, a minister of the gospel of Jesus. Amen? All of these things. The Holy Ghost is to be on the inside of you. He transforms you. He changes you. Here's Peter. He's a mess. Preaching the gospel. I mean, you remember when they were back there in chapter 1, they were going to choose the successor for Judas. Well, Peter stood up in the midst and say, okay, guys, here's what we need to do. Well, you know, if you were one of those disciples, you'd say, I remember you. You're the guy that denied Jesus. We heard about that. You denied Jesus 3 times. Why should we listen to you? But obviously, the Holy Spirit on the inside of these men, when he breathed on them, there had been a transformation already. There had been a transformation already. God set Peter up as a man of God, same as he's doing for you. Amen? Amen. He's setting Bill up as a man of God. Surprise, surprise. Dolores, surprise. Bill's a man of God. Dolores is a woman of God. Bill, you're married to a godly woman. How powerful is that? That's so exciting. Turn the camera on. No, never mind. Just wanted you to see. All right. Praise the Lord. So Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. This is verse 38 in chapter 2. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive. Oh, mama, we're going to share this with everybody. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it's not just those people who are in the upper room who happen to be, boy, I'm glad I was there. If I wasn't there, I wouldn't have got it. No, they're letting in everybody. Everybody who receives Jesus gets the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Listen to who the promise is to. We're on the day of Pentecost. And this promise is still true. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, thank God that's me. Because this is a long time ago. This is 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, that includes me. That includes my grandbabies. Amen. Your grandbabies. Hallelujah. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this toward generation, perverse generation. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly. How'd they continue? In the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. And they that believed were all together and had all things common. In other words, here we are in Jerusalem. Half the people are from other parts of the world. Right? Remember that? We had people visiting from everywhere. This is the same morning. And verse 45. So they all had all things common. Verse 44, 45 says, and sold their possessions. And their goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing in the temple, with one accord, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, going forward, daily, such as should be saved. Now, were they communists? Socialists? No, they just had a bunch of people who had a bunch of needs because they were all staying in town. If you had 3,000 people come in, and half of them were just in town for a few days, you know, people sold stuff so that they could have money to distribute and help people out. So, you know, so in other words, it's not an ongoing thing. But what's happening is that as needs are made aware, the body takes care of the needs. Amen? Amen. So when people have a need, when somebody has a need, well, you try to find some way, find some chicken tenders. Back in the old days, we used to say, find a bologna sandwich, but I don't think people do that anymore because it's not healthy. White bread and bologna. Yeah. If you're starving, oh yeah. Yeah, Danny remembers those days. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Little miracle whip. Yeah. Makes everything good. Yeah. That's right. All right, now. So they're spending time together in the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship. Whew, man, fellowship. Don't forsake getting together. Why? Because you need encouragement. Because every day is trouble. Remember, said that at the beginning of the day. You know, is that Jesus said in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. Woohoo! Everybody say it. Woohoo! Saying that, isn't that great? Don't you just feel better just doing that?
I feel silly.
Well, good. Feel silly. That's great. All right. I feel good. James Brown. I feel good. That's right. I do. I feel good because I'm not paying attention. Amen. Anybody like me? You know. Hey, what kind of a day are you having? It's because you're not looking, are you? That's right. Yeah, that's what I tell people, isn't it? That's my version of perfect. Yeah, well, you know, Jim, how you doing? Perfect. You know, people just hate that, you know. You know, yeah, how you doing? Awesome. Well, of course, I'm not looking. You know, I admit, I'm not looking. I'm not checking. I'm not, you know, taking my temperature or seeing how things are going. I'm going to answer before I look. That's what you should do. Don't take stock and then give me a report. I don't want that. I want to know, how's Jesus with you today? How are you with Jesus today? Amen? Are you happy and peaceful? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? You know, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be. He says this to you, just ask. You know, he said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give those who ask the gift of the Holy Ghost? Amen. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost today, you come down, we'll pray and thank God, and we'll receive the Holy Ghost, and you'll receive. Amen. He said right here, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I hope you repented, you know. And we'll baptize you in water. We'll find some water somewhere. We'll go outside, you know. This church here is some kind of dispensational church, because, you know, when we got here, they didn't have anything for communion. They didn't have anything for baptism. I think they still got saved. But communion had passed away and baptism had passed away. That's dispensational. That's big time, but dispensational, you know. All the people had passed away by the time we got here. They were gone. All right. Well, God is doing a good work in you. Amen. You know, He's taking all of your sins away. And in fact, you know, and you keep looking in the mirror and saying, no, I saw one. Nobody's delivering you from the power of sin. You know those sins you kind of tend to do? Is God just saying, thank Him every day. Say, Father, thank You that You're removing all of my sin. You're just removing all of my sin. I'm just the happiest person in the world. I'm not paying attention to all the things that are going wrong, going right. I don't care what's going right or going wrong. I just thank You that Jesus is in me. Amen. My boat's at the land. You know, even in the storm, my boat's at the land. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord, we could keep talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you should, because He's in you. How many... You're just thankful for the Holy Ghost. Thankful for the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank You today for every one of these here. Thank You that they, first of all, have received the breath of Jesus. That they're born again. If somebody's not born again, let them, Lord, just say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I just turn away from my sin by faith. Not even meaning it. I can't do it with strength, with any kind of ability. But I repent of my sin by faith, and I receive the sacrifice of Jesus. He shed His blood to cleanse me of all sin, and I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior right now. And Father, I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you need that today, if you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. I thank You for the gift of other tongues, the gift of power. And as I begin to pray, the Holy Spirit will give me the utterance. And I receive, Lord God, every gift that You have, because every gift that You have is good. Father, I thank You that You called these all to be witnesses. And this is the day that we celebrate that gift being imparted onto the world, onto Your church, the beginning of the church, the day of Pentecost, that people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we give You glory and thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen, guys.